greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you. Appreciate the service thus far. Been a blessing being here. I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about something that, for an opening, something about something most of you used, or in something that was using it, getting here. And that's brakes. So if you drove here, you probably used your brakes, or the driver did. And you know, when you think about a vehicle, in that typical vehicle, the brake pads aren't that big. You're putting a lot of faith in something really little there to cause friction, to stop you when you want to stop. And some people use them differently than others. Some people depend wholly on brakes. And if they wouldn't work, they'd be in bad shape. Others, you know, you should use them as little as possible. You'll get better mileage. Your vehicle will last, you'll just have less trouble. Your brakes will last a lot longer. Mechanics will tell you that. You know, I was quite a few years ago, I was going to Springfield, and there was, the roads were icy. A friend of mine, it's back in the time that if the roads were bad, we kind of thought we needed to go somewhere. And so we were driving to Springfield, and there was a little, pretty new little tourist came past us. We were driving around 40 miles an hour, and that tourist was going full speed. And we got to Rogersville, and there they were down in the ditch. So I pulled off and asked if we could help them. And there's not much place to hook on there, so I said, I don't know if I can hook on to this thing. He said, I don't care where you hook on. Just get me out of here. I don't care. And he was really jumpy. So we did hook on and started trying to pull him out. And then he says, shall I take my foot off the brake? And I said, yes, take your foot off the brake. So there's another instance of brakes. There's times you don't want to have them on there. But, you know, some vehicles refuse to move with the brakes. So when you set the brakes, other vehicles, you can push them on. And that's going to, you can ruin your brakes that way. It's better if it will not move. So you have to release your brakes before you move. But at best, there's friction if you put brakes on. There is, with a vehicle, period, you have friction. When you're going down the road, there's friction. There's friction. If you're going on a gravel road, there's more friction than on a highway. You have friction. You're working against friction. But the vehicle is designed to tolerate, to work with that friction and still to move freely. And so if you get in a vehicle, you expect to be able to drive highway speeds comfortably without feeling like you're really struggling to get this thing to go. But if you're driving, have you ever been following somebody and you saw the brake lights on and them going? And you know what's going on. There's 2 feet down there. One's on the brakes and the other's on the accelerator. And so that's friction. And it doesn't go well. And you can only go so long with that kind of a friction. You know, when the brakes are on, the car's at odds with itself. One surface wants to revolve, and the other surface is putting friction on that, saying, we're trying to get this thing to stop. And it can't keep on moving when it has steady friction. Eventually, it will oppose itself. It will come to a stop. So, thinking about that is, in this life, the Christian will deal with frictions. Mark has talked about this morning. As long as we're in this life, we're dealing with friction. We have this flesh that we're going to deal with. And that's normal. Just as normal as it is for a vehicle that's moving down the road to have friction. It's dealing with normal resistance, road friction, aerodynamics, the friction of the air, gravity, and so on. But there is a friction that retards spiritual growth and does real injury to the soul or the spiritual and its side of man. And it's created by inward maladjustment. And our Sunday school lesson talked about that a little bit. It talked about you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. If we look at Matthew 6, a couple verses there, Jesus talks about that. Matthew 6:22-24, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Matthew 6:23. "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." So no man can serve two masters. We can't deal with that. We can't give ourselves to we're either going to be following God or the alternative to that, which is not good. We can't serve two masters. James talks about that also. He says, James 1 verse, got the wrong place here. Verse 6, he says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For it says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So it takes, we can't be, there again talking about this single eye, the difference there. We can't serve two masters. If we're out there wavering back and forth, and the heart is at cross purposes with itself, there can be no inward harmony. We're going to be, things are just, there's going to be discord. And a carnal heart that slowly wears out the life. A little bit like those brakes that are on all the time, and eventually it just wears it down till it's lost. The friction has got the best of us. So what are some areas that we can that we deal with friction? James also says, he talks about being slow to wrath. I'm going to turn to that. "Swear for my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So we could, that list could go, the list of the frictions is a list that anything that pulls us away from God. But some of them maybe that we will think about just a little bit here, think of wrath, resentment, bitterness. Those things are things that I think are something we all deal with. There's a certain sense, if we let those things in our life, if we let that friction in there, it's going to pull us away. We can't, it just isn't going to work. You know, what are we feeding on? Where are we getting our life? You know, if a person lives on, if their main diet is junk food, we wouldn't expect them to really be healthy. You know, you'll be susceptible, much more likely to be susceptible to the colds and the things that go around. You're gonna catch them a lot easier because your resistance isn't up. And so the inward man, you know, it has to be fed nourishing, wholesome food. You know, if we're feeding on sensual things, media, music, and so on, whatever it may be, if that is our diet, that's what's going to, those kind of things are going to pull us down. It's going to pull us away. We can't have that kind of a diet and think that we can live a healthy life. Spiritually, it will finally wear us down. That friction will eventually will succumb to that friction. And that's not where Christ wants us. And we don't have to stay in that state. We can groveling here below, you know, just creeping painfully forward, trying to, you know, just always being pulled back. And eventually, you know, we're gonna lose that fight. But the alternative to that is we can be racing unhindered toward the prize. We don't have to let those things get us down. We need to check up on ourselves. What is it? Where are we? Evaluate our own status. You know, are we driving with the brakes on, with the friction there, and letting it pull us down? Or are we doing like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians? He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So that's where I trust we are, or we want to be, or we will do whatever it takes to get to that place where we can be pressing forwards without that friction, that extra friction pulling us back. And we have the story of in Mark chapter 10 of the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do?" And Jesus told him, he gave him a list of things: to honor your father and mother, to not kill, not covet. He gave the list there, and he said, "I've done all those things since my youth." And Jesus said, "You know, that's not enough." He said, "Go sell what you have, give to the poor, take up your cross, and follow me, and then you'll have that life." And, you know, he walked away sorrowfully. So that's a choice every one of us have to make. You know, when Jesus, we have that, Jesus calls us to nothing less than that, but to give ourselves completely, to take up our cross, and to follow him. And then we can be driving without that extra friction pulling us back.